look, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning, we are going to hear about protesters that don't want radioactive wastewater dumped into the Hudson River. We are also going to hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate and in the smoke that's coming to town, too, we'll hear about on the WGXC Morning Show. It all starts after Jason Martin from Troy is finished singing this song. Then it's time for the WGXC Local News. Next, stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Zuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Accra.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Murray of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, June 28th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. There were only a few primary elections locally in voting that ended June 27th. In Greene County, there was just one contest among two Republicans competing for New Baltimore's Superintendent of Highways nomination. Alan W. Van Wormer, with 134 votes, defeated Robert P. Van Etten with 71 votes. In Columbia County, there were more primary elections. Democrats countywide chose between three candidates for county judge, with Brian Joseph Herman winning with 1,987 votes, followed by Michael C. Howard with 1,950 votes, and Mark Porton with 1,786 votes. Republicans in New Lebanon narrowly backed Peter McCagg with 35 votes for town highway superintendent over Jeffrey Weinstock with 33 votes. The other votes were among Democrats in Hudson in three wards choosing nominees, In the first ward, Margaret Morris with 129 votes and Gary Pernhagen with 71 votes defeated Todd Randall Martin with 63 votes. In the second ward, Duan A. Sarawar with 109 votes and Mohammed M. Roney with 86 votes took the nominations over Kevron Trone Lee with 47 votes. And in the final ward, Shirzaz Mizan with 76 votes and Lola Roberts with 73 votes got the nominations over Daniel D. Schmader with 62 votes. Full disclosure, Martin is a WGXC volunteer programmer. Lauren Stanforth reports in the Times Union that the State Department of Environmental Conservation is warning that smoke from Canadian wildfires will again invade the Hudson Valley on June 28th. A wind shift following a passing cold front is bringing the smoke. Air quality advisories have been issued for western and central New York on June 28th, but not in the Hudson Valley, where the air quality is not expected to be as bad. Governor Kathy Hochul said in a statement, quote, "I encourage everyone to remain vigilant, especially if you are vulnerable to air pollution. Stay up to date on the latest information and take steps to protect yourself," unquote. The Democrat and Chronicle reported that, quote, "By Thursday, downstate regions, including the Hudson Valley, the New York City metropolitan region, and Long Island are projected to see unhealthy air levels," unquote. Reuters reports that the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center says this is the worst wildfire season on record in Canada, with 29,000 square miles burning across eastern and western Canada. Air quality levels this week locally aren't expected to be as bad as early June, when there were several days of heavy smoke in the air here. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that Representative Paul Tonko joined U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona at the Hudson Valley Community College in Rensselaer County on June 27th to discuss education. Tonko spoke about careers in science, engineering, technology, or mathematics for young people locally.
A great percentage of our population is under the age of 19, so we've got a ready audience.
Cardona, the education secretary, said, quote, "We're going to make sure that we have students that are prepared to take on these high-skill, high-career jobs to make that possible," unquote. Labor Department Commissioner Roberta Reardon was also there and reminded the men, quote, "Don't leave women out of the workforce. Over 50% of the workers in this country are women, but they are underemployed or not employed at all, and we need them desperately. We need young women to know that they can be in the building trades. They can do chips. They can do anything they set their minds to, and they can certainly come here to Hudson Valley and get a great education," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 28th. Local early morning temperatures range from 59 degrees in Tannersville to 65 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 68 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low and they're staying that way for now. Air quality warnings are up for areas to the west as more Canadian smoke finds its way into New York. Today will be warm with a high of 75 degrees at 5 p.m. Afternoon thundershowers are expected again, but nothing very damaging should occur. Overnight, it dries out a bit and we see a low of 60 degrees. Tomorrow, maybe a drop of rain in the afternoon, but that is all. Mostly dry all day with a high of 84. Overnight, temperatures fall to 60 degrees, then Friday will be hot with a high of 85, and possible afternoon thunder. 64 degrees overnight takes us into a wet-looking Saturday with a high of 80, and Sunday looks very much the same. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:51 a.m., high tide at 10:50 a.m., low tide again at 5:52 a.m., and high tide once again at 11:41 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see active sunspot 3354 is pretty close to Earth and could cause some significant flares today. As such, we have a 10% chance of X-class flares. Plasma winds will be average at 449 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently, Fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 141, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Sono lieto di poter rievocare in poche parole le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New Hampshire's former Secretary of State once said, "You can't hack a pencil." That philosophy resulted in the Granite State falling behind most of the country in its voting technology and election law. Last week, it got worse, not better. As the end of the 2023 session drew near, a House and Senate committee worked to hash out differences on Senate Bill 70, a proposed online portal for citizens to submit documents and register to vote. Any registrations would be reviewed by local town officials before approval. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, 42 states provide online voter registration. The New Hampshire Bulletin reports that the House Election Law Committee had earlier amended the portal bill to include replacement of the state's vintage 1980s ballot tabulation machines using federal grant money, opposed by Senate leaders. Infighting ensued, and the online portal bill failed again. What did pass was nothing to celebrate. Buried in New Hampshire's recently passed budget was an amendment eliminating limits on money that could be donated directly to a candidate by political action committees, limited liability corporations, and 501c nonprofits. Party leaders argue that mandatory reporting of those transactions makes it transparent, but LLCs and nonprofits are not required to disclose donors, keeping citizens in the dark on who is buying influence in their statehouse. We have articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
It is baseless as a matter of history, text, and practice, and makes no sense as a matter of policy.
Wendy Weiser of the Brennan Center for Justice calls the independent legislature theory proposed by North Carolina Republicans an anti-democratic interpretation of the Constitution. The Supreme Court agreed on Tuesday, rejecting the claim state lawmakers have sweeping authority over congressional maps and federal elections. In a 6-3 ruling, the court upheld a decision by North Carolina's high court, striking down a redistricting plan as severely partisan. A new Senate report finds intelligence agencies ignored a massive amount of warnings ahead of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund says he witnessed a coordinated military-style attack.
These people came specifically with equipment. You're bringing climbing gear to a demonstration. You're bringing explosives.
The report says the FBI and Department of Homeland Security were aware of social media posts foreshadowing violence, as well as knowledge of far-right extremist groups planning to be in Washington, D.C. on the day the Electoral College vote was being counted. The Biden administration will distribute more than $40 billion nationwide to ensure reliable high-speed internet service for every American by 2030. Senator John Thune of South Dakota says tremendous oversight will be needed to ensure funds are not misspent.
More importantly, to ensure the funding is actually going to areas that are truly unserved.
At least 7% of the country lacks access to high-speed internet service, according to the FCC. House Democrats are calling for an independent investigation into Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, following reports of undisclosed luxury trips with a Republican megadonor. Representative Dan Goldman of New York calls the behavior un-American.
But sadly, it is not against the rules of the Supreme Court because there is no code of ethics that applies to the Supreme Court.
Democrats are asking Chief Justice John Roberts to establish an independent office to investigate. San Francisco could become the first city in the country to require all pharmacies to carry naloxone, a drug that reverses opioid overdoses. San Francisco Supervisor Matt Dorsey says pharmacies without the drug would endure fines.
My sense is that the community has had enough of excuses, and they want answers about what we're doing.
And ongoing wildfires across Canada are raising air quality concerns throughout the Great Lakes region and in parts of the central and eastern United States. Air quality has been categorized unhealthy in Chicago. Officials are urging young people, older adults, and residents with health issues to stay indoors. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
We've been seeing all sorts of animals and plant growth at Wave Farm this week, but mostly we have been hearing the sound of water as rain has been falling from the skies and dripping from trees when it's not been raining. It's been drying out. We've seen lightning and heard thunder. Mostly the rain has been steady and light, but occasionally it's gotten harder. Lots of birds out in the rain this week at Wave Farm, too. Heard behind the sounds of water. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Community Calendar, where there's all sorts of events for you to do locally, both in person and virtually. Go to the community calendar online at WGXC.org and press the Add an Event button to add your own event. And soon enough, it'll be heard on the radio at 90.7 FM and around the world in the WGXC Community Calendar at WGXC.org. On Thursday, June 29th, Caro Public Library is where the wild things are, and participants 5 to 8 years old are encouraged to come from 1:30 to 3 p.m., where they'll use large sheets of paper, paint, colored paper, fabric, and yarn to construct their own wild thing. Also Thursday, June 29th, the Hudson Thursday Market is at the Public Square in Hudson from 4 to 7 p.m. with all sorts of local vendors. Musician Abby Lappin is at the Hudson Area Library on Thursday, June 29th from 4 to 5 p.m. with movement and music story time. Esther Cohen's writing workshop is back this summer, Thursday, June 29th at the Caro Public Library at 6 p.m. And also Thursday, June 29th at the Hudson Area Library at 6 p.m. There is a lecture on the role of women in Leisler's Rebellion. That's at 6 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Friday, June 30th, two great local bands perform at the Colony Cafe, Bella's Bar Talk and the Dust Bowl Fairies. That's starting at 7 p.m. and wrapping up at 11:30 on Friday, June 30th. Saturday, July 1st is Stream Bank Stewardship Day, and folks will be meeting by the Schoharie Creek in downtown Prattsville with games, prizes, crafts, and more. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Prattsville, Saturday, July 1st. Jen Cutler is giving a workshop called Build Your Own CRT Wobulator, and each participant in this workshop is asked to bring two working CRT televisions to build a working wobulator. That's from noon to 6 p.m. Saturday, July 1st at the Wave Farm in Acre. Also Saturday, July 1st, the Michael Benedict Jazz Vibes Duo performs at Coyote Flacco in Claverick. CMOS Z Wrong and M. Getty's Gengris are performing Saturday, July 1st at Tubby's in Kingston. That's from 7 to 11 p.m. Sunday, July 2nd, the traditional Irish music session is at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. And Plena Libre is at PS 21 in Chatham, blending Puerto Rican rhythms with Afro-Caribbean influences. That's at 6 p.m. in Chatham at PS 21 on Sunday, July 2nd. These are just some of the events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Eric Weltman, who is a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch, and they were one of the main groups fighting to get a law passed to stop the dumping of radioactive wastewater from the decommissioned Indian Point nuclear power plant into the legislature. And that did pass both houses. Governor not yet signed it. And then also they're involved with doing a rally, Stop Fossil Fuels, in conjunction with the UN Special Assembly on Climate on September 17th. So Eric, why is it such a problem to get the legislature to say no dumping of radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River?
Well, like any issue that Food and Water Watch is involved with, we were going up against some, wealthy and influential special interests, but we actually had bipartisan support. The bill actually passed in the Senate unanimously. So with the, the votes of all the Democrats as well as the Republicans, it was a little tougher going in the Assembly. There were some, all too lengthy debates. But, ultimately, the Speaker did thankfully bring the bill to a vote. It did pass. And now it's up to the governor to sign into law. I will say we had have a tremendous coalition, Riverkeeper, other local community groups, particularly in Westchester and up and down the Hudson Valley, are very strenuously opposed to this proposed dumping by the company Holtec. It's a German company that's responsible for decommissioning the plant.
Well, you mentioned you convinced Assembly Speaker Hasty to finally bring the bill to a vote. It actually was done in that two-day special session, so it was probably one of the, few sort of somewhat controversial issues that actually made the floor, so congratulations on that. But one of the issues that Holtec was arguing was, hey, when they've been operating the Indian Point Power Plant, they were dumping the radioactive wastewater into the river for years, so why should this be any different? What was sort of response to that?
When I was in kindergarten, I learned that, two wrongs don't make a right. And certainly the case that, the Hudson River, painfully has been a dumping ground for years, decades, PCBs. And, I think we all, took a good lesson from the late and beloved, Pete Seeger to not do that, to not treat the Hudson River as a dumping ground. So even though we were doing something, wrong in the past, that's certainly no argument for continuing to do so in the future. Again, a lot of amazing groups, a tip of the hat to, Clearwater, Pete's old group and Riverkeeper and other groups that, fought so hard to keep, clean up the river. And we're just committed, at Food and Water Watch to help, do our part to keep it clean, to keep it as a safe drinking water source for thousands of people and a recreational resource for kayakers and others. That's a simple and obvious, I would think, answer.
Now, you mentioned that you need to get Governor Hochul to sign the bill. I have imagined people want to express their opinion either way. You guys have a phone number on how to do that. But, has Governor Hochul, spoken about whether or not she does intend to sign the bill?
Not a peep from Governor Hochul. We've got, a summer's worth of plans to, bird dog her and put the question to her. And, we're going to be doing petition drives and phone banking and press events. And we're definitely going to make sure that she cannot avoid the question. And if and when she answers it, she does so in the right way. There is some important time consideration. Holtec's plan is to dump the waste in August. So we have about a month to get the governor to sign this bill into law and to use her authority to stop this dangerous dumping plan.
You got a phone number?
Yeah, we do. We have a hotline to Hochul. Food and Water Watch's very own hotline to Hochul, 866-696-8249. I'll repeat that number. It's 866-696-8249. Please call early and often, like they vote in Chicago. Call early and often. Again, it's 866-696-8249.
Right. And of course, people can express whatever their, opinion is on this issue. But I also stand that Food and Water Watch I think as part of the People versus Fossil Fuels campaign, is doing a major rally with others in New York City on Sunday, September 17th, mm-hmm. part of the response to the UN, having a special assembly, as they often do on climate. So can you walk us through why this particular event, why is it important for people to attend?
We have a wonderful opportunity, I would say, that was presented to us by the UN Secretary General, who's convened this climate ambition summit. And he's, as I understand it, pulling together, countries around the world that have actually made a commitment to moving off fossil fuels, the United States painfully not being one of them. So Food and Water Watch and a lot of allies, New York Communities for Change, a whole set of groups here in New York and across the nation, Friends of the Earth and many others, are pulling together this rally on Sunday, September 17th in Manhattan, again, right before this major climate summit. And we're going to be focusing on President Biden as our key target. We really need Biden, who's been approving, fossil fuel projects left and right, to really step it up and be a climate leader, to ban fracking, to halt exports of fossil fuels, to stop, new pipelines, new power plants, new fossil fuel infrastructure. He painfully, green lighted Senator Manchin's, pet project, the Mountain Valley Pipeline, the Willow project up in Alaska. We need him to, really treat this crisis as what it is, an existential crisis.
Now, I know a lot of groups have been trying to get President Biden to actually act like a climate emergency, issue executive orders. And I remember when Joe Biden was running for president, he actually sort of rated the worst among the Democratic primary contenders on climate. He seemed to actually improve it during the pressure and to run against people like Bernie Sanders, but has not been particularly great since taking office. And he doesn't seem to have a real serious challenge. So how can people move the president on climate issues?
Yeah, that's a good question. You raise a question of leverage, and God help us. I don't think the other announced major Democratic candidate is really a safe and good option. We are going to ramp up the pressure on the Biden administration. We just held a bird dog of the vice president, who is in town for a big fundraiser. Your question about leverage is a valid one. I think at the end of the day, though, he's going to need the votes and the support, the active support of environmentalists. And absent that, we run the risk of someone even worse occupying the White House. But I think, September 17th is going to be a very important moment for him to, hear the urgency of the moment, to be, feel the pressure not only from, Americans, but also from around the world. Again, I think, we have the tacit support of the UN Secretary General, who's convening this big summit. And it's anyone's guess at this point whether or not the United States will even warrant an invite to participate, which I think would be a serious black eye for the president. So I think this is, September 17th is a major moment. And I hope that folks can get on the bus or get on the train or ride a bike and join us on September 17th in Manhattan.
Well, we have less than a minute left. State legislative session just concluded. Few things done, not enough on climate. What do you want to tell people in the last 40 seconds?
I want to tell people to visit the Food and Water Watch website, foodandwaterwatch.org. Sign up, stay engaged, get involved, join your local climate group, and we can do this. New York has led the way. We banned fracking. We banned frac gas and fossil fuels in new buildings. We passed the Bill of Public Renewables Act. New York can show that you can take on the fossil fuel industry and win. We've done that before, and we're going to do it again.
Eric Weltman, Senior Organizer, Food and Water Watch. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're blind, baby. You're blind from the facts on who you are because you're watching that garbage.
The woman makes the men all pause, and if you got a woman, she might make you forget yours. There's a five-letter word to describe her character, but her brain's being washed by an actor. And every real man that tries to approach, comes a coat they come, it gets just like a rope. I don't think I can handle, she goes channel to channel, phone looking for that hero. She watched Channel Zero.
Zero. Yo, baby, you got to cut that garbage off. Yo, I want to watch the game. What is you doing? Hey, yo, let me tell you a little something. I'm going to take all your soap and I'm going to hang them on the rope. You know what I'm saying? Cause that garbage you watching don't make no sense. Hey, yo, let me tell you a little something, baby. I'm going to take your set and I'm going to throw it out the window, G.
2, 7, 5, 4, 8, she watched. She said, I'll add it up to zero. Nothing in her head. She turns and turns and she hopes her soul. Oh, for real, she learns that it ain't true, no. But she won't survive and rather die than lie. For the fool, for some dude on the tube. I don't think I can handle. She goes channel to channel, cold looking for that hero. She watched Channel Zero.
Yo, baby, you think I'm joking? Do look like I'm joking? I ain't joking, word up, baby. Yo, cut that garbage off now. Yo, I got the Tyson fight on, you know what I'm saying? Yo, so you can't be coming in here stagnating like that, you know what I'm saying? Yo, we get ready to watch the Super Bowl. We got a black quarterback, so step back.
Cause I know she don't know, I quote. Her brain be drained by a 24-inch remote. Revolution, a solution for all of our children. But her children don't mean as much as a show. I mean, watch her worship the screen and fiend for a TV ad, and it just makes me mad. I don't think I can handle. She goes channel to channel, cold looking for that hero. She watched Channel Zero.
Yo, baby, can't you see that nonsense you watching? Look, don't nobody look like that. Nobody even live like that. You know what I'm saying? You watching garbage, milk bug garbage, straight up garbage. Yo, bunch you back up from the TV. Read a book or something. Read about yourself. Learn your culture. You know what I'm saying? Yo, let me tell you a little something. You're blind, baby. You're blind from the fact of who you are because you're watching that garbage. You understand what I'm saying? Garbage. Number pure garbage. You're blind, baby.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. New York State of Politics reports that while one goal of a bill passed in Albany and awaiting Governor Kathy Hochul's signature is to save money on elections by consolidating voting dates, many current election dates will remain on the calendar. The bill would move most elections currently in odd-numbered years to even-numbered years when more people vote in congressional and presidential elections. But Onondaga County Democratic Elections Commissioner Dustin Charney points out that the legislature did not and could not move all of the odd-numbered elections to even-numbered years. Charney said, and I quote, "Any judicial race would not be affected. Supreme Court justices, town justices, and other kind of judicial race. Also, what will not be affected are any races that happen inside cities are protected by the Constitution, end quote. Jude Seymour, the Republican Elections Commissioner for the Jefferson County Board of Election, points out the ballot will now be much longer and defends staggered year voting, saying, and I quote, they protect against a wholesale change of government based on the whims that may not last until the next election. Alexander Hamilton and James Madison warned us centuries ago to protect against factions breaking apart our republic. I think putting all the elections in one year makes that harder to prevent, end quote. Charney admits that more people will vote in elections moved to even-numbered years, saying, and I quote, in even-numbered years since 2009, we averaged 63% turnout. In odd-numbered years, we averaged 32% turnout. That's a huge difference. That's double, end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Courtney Ward reports for News 10 that Amtrak has temporarily shut down its Adirondack route to Montreal because of the Canadian wildfires. Amtrak's rail partner, Canadian National, has reduced speed on the rail because of the heat from the ongoing wildfires. All stops north of Albany on the line from Montreal to New York City are currently closed for service. Amtrak only resumed the service there less than 3 months ago after it was closed during much of the COVID pandemic. Read more about this story at the News 10 website. Jane Kaufman reports in the Berkshire Eagle that there is a proposal in the town of Washington to put up a 30-foot tower to better receive radio signals from birds. Berkshire County has a large dead zone where radio transmissions from migratory birds cannot be received. Scientists have placed tiny radio transmitters on the backs of some birds to study the large loss in migratory bird population lately. A $1 million grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is paying for the installation of 50 receiving towers across New York and New England, with 10 in Massachusetts. The proposed tower in Washington would fit between existing towers in Hopkins Memorial Forest in Williamstown and Jug Inn State Reservation in Ergmont. Neighbors of the proposed site, though, are opposed to the project. That includes Kent Liu, who is on the town select board and considers himself a birder. Liu said, and I quote, it's a beautiful road. I get the intentions and the purposes and the bigger picture, but the net effect on an everyday level for those of us who live here is it's just ugly, end quote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mainly before 5 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 75 degrees. On Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., then a slight chance of showers after 5 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 61 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 79 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 61 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Horse Lords there with Zero Degree Machine from their 2022 album Comradely Objects on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Creative Community Radio.
Yeah.